And welcome into in-game chat for Saturday, December the 13th, 2025. I'm making sure that's right because my head's just not all there as of late. I'll tell you about that later. Yeah, it's season 19, episode number 39. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
That's right. Just the two of us. Here we go. All right, get the old... board clap out of the way. For those that don't know, most of you do, but for those that don't, I do that to sync up our audio when I go back through and edit this video. Because for whatever reason, about halfway through, I say halfway, just gradually as the show goes on, the audio desyncs. Mm-hmm. When, not for you watching or even you listening, but... in my when I go to edit the video, it's all it gets off sync. Yeah. So
it's like some memory thing because incrementally it's very small, but then as the time goes on, it gathers up and builds up.
Right,
suddenly we're out of sync. Might be a memory issue or something.
Popping open my gas station energy drink. It worked really well last time, by the way. Did I talk about that? I don't remember.
Yeah, you said it worked really well.
It worked, man. Normally I do the coffee, and I did do coffee.
Yeah, but it made you a little. Bubbly.
I mean bubbly. No. I'm not a soda drinker. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an energy drinker.
Yeah.
But this works. Yeah. It really works. And it's not the best tasting thing, but then again, I don't think energy drinks really have ever been great tasting. Mm. But
yeah, that's why I always go with a Java Monster. Chocolate milk coffee, that take. I always take that.
Man. But it helps. It works.
Yeah, yeah.
And so at least, not that this is boring for me, but by the end of the day at 4 o'clock, you know, I'm tired. You don't understand. My body clock is on like a 4:30 a.m. thing. I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. And so, you know, 4, it's like, all right, kind of tired.
Yeah, in order to do that, you got to go to bed early. So, yeah.
Ah, boy. Anyway, yeah, exactly. Enough about that. Welcome into the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, then you can. Many ways. You can find us on Twitter at Endgame Chat. You can find us on Blue Sky at Endgame Chat. You can also find us on Facebook at Endgame Chat. I think you're getting the idea. You can also email us, everyone at endgamechat.net. Mm-hmm. You can find us right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/endgamechat. And you can also go to our website, ingamechat.net, go all the way down to the bottom. You'll find the Twitch link. You'll find the email link, the Facebook link. You will find our Discord link so that you can get in and chat with us on Discord as well. In fact, you, RJ, are not going to be here next weekend, correct?
Right.
Right. Right. I got to put out the Steve signal, I guess, and see if Steve will join me next week. Maybe, Matt's, what the hell is he playing? He's playing Ghost Recon Breakpoint right now. And maybe he's listening. Well, actually, it says it's got the little moon thing, which I guess means that he's sleeping. He's not around. But, yeah. So, anyway, reach out to him and see if he can join us next week. It's been a while since we had Matt on the show. So, something to do. Welcome into the show. Yes, I know it is... it's video game. It's the game awards thing.
Yeah.
I don't, I don't want to spend all day or all show talking about it, because mm-hmm. every single year at this time, we end up spending all the entire show talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's necessarily worth talking about anymore, outside of, like, you know, the criticisms of the thing. You know what yeah. I mean? We're absolutely going to talk about, you know, the trailers that they showed off, the new games that were announced,
mm-hmm.
The Claire Obscure going just nutso with the winds. We'll absolutely talk about that. But, you know, doing some kind of long, drawn-out criticism about the show, like I've done in years past, I will say just go back to those episodes and listen to those, because it's just going to apply again to this one,
mm-hmm.
to me. And that's fine. But it's the Game Awards. As with pizza, even when it's bad, it's still pretty good, because you get new stuff. You get some new stuff. Even if what they do really angers you with how they treat the developers or with how they treat the members of the community in gaming and any of that stuff, whatever you want to say about Jeff and everything else is absolutely valid and fine. Go ahead, whatever it is you want to say
mm-hmm.
in that opinion piece. But it affords us. It does not, apparently we got some numbers, it does not afford the game companies that spend over $1 million just for like a, I think it's like 60 seconds or 120 seconds of ad time.
Yeah, we're talking
for
about
this thing. It's massive.
Yeah.
We're not talking Super Bowl numbers. We're talking yep. Super Bowl 1990 numbers, maybe, yeah, or but, 1985
but
numbers.
But it's a similar effect. You got to pay a ridiculous amount of money for time on this.
Absolutely.
On this
yeah. And, you know, most studios ain't got that kind of money.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them do.
But it ain't earmarked for that.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Besides, you can make your own event or put some on YouTube or do
just
something
do that.
Like that.
Just I mean,
that.
Nintendo does yeah. it now. Yeah. Sony and Microsoft has a developer showcase coming up in January.
Yeah. Make a channel, put your stuff on there, and maybe be happy with that.
And that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But it does afford us to get these new announcements. I mean, we get, you know, brand new stuff. It affords us the hype. It affords us more games to be seen. And we'll talk about the benefit of that, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say actually the lack of a benefit for that. And we'll jump into that here in a bit when we get into it, because we haven't talked about what we've played or what we've been playing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you know, talking about energy drink, right? As he goes to reach again for his
sponsorship.
No. Actually, you know what? Sure, let's sponsor it. No, let's not sponsor it. But actually, I have no problem mentioning it, only for the fact that we don't have any competing advertisers. Because it's a gas station, for God's sake.
Yep.
It's QT up the road, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. They got a massive coffee bar, and they got some
huge coffee bar,
yeah. massive coffee bar, and they've also got you know, some energy drinks, which I just tried last week. So anyway, that energy drink, by the way, worked
mm-hmm.
because last week when we got off the show, obviously I went and edited the video and stuff and like that, but I think it was up until 2 a.m. Not necessarily constantly playing this game. I think I started at around midnight,
mm-hmm.
but Marvel Cosmic Invasion,
yeah.
The dot e, what is the beat 'em up?
Yeah, yeah. The Me Against the World side scrolling beat 'em up.
God, yeah, yeah, boy, it was fun.
Yeah, right.
Frustrating in parts because of it, and I had forgotten about this problem because I hadn't played these types of games in a while.
Yeah.
My problem is the lining yourself up with your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is not going to get any better as I get older. Trying to figure out what plane of the level that I'm on in comparison to where my enemy is, where I'm mm-hmm. not punching air, even though I think I'm lined up with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Usually in a game like that, they'll come to you, so you stay... You
but
get
not when they've
angle.
Got guns. They'll fire at you from a whatever distance, and you've got to go to them.
Are they going left and right, or are they going at an angle?
They're coming at you at different angles. You got guys that come in from the left side of the screen... Right side of the screen, left side of the screen.
No, I'm talking about the bullets. Are the bullets going straight across the screen, left or right? Is there any variation, like angling towards the bottom of the
right.
screen?
Right. No, I don't think like so.
That? No, okay, then that's simple. You just come at them from below or yeah. above at an angle.
But then there's the flamethrower, which, because of the way that it shows up on screen, I can't tell of the plane of which it is in the 3D space, 2D
them.
Space type thing, I guess you could say.
Yeah, you get behind them.
Well, yeah.
That's the thing. There are certain enemies you come at it in certain ways.
Flying enemies are annoying as well.
Let's see. Vertical jumping attacks.
You have to be lined up on where they're at in that space to make sure that you're going to connect with your attack. And that was my biggest problem.
Trying to attack them, or you could just counter them and then set them up for something else?
No, trying to attack them. Just trying to land a hit. Because, again, I'm trying to figure out how I can explain this. You know, depending on where they're at in that level, like, there's layers of that level. Not necessarily like there's I'm on the second layer of the level or whatever. I'm just saying that the depth, they can be towards me more or further away from me more. Mm-hmm. And then my character, again, on a 2D side-scroller type thing, they're either I'm trying to line up where I think they're at. Mm-hmm. And you really have to be, you know, like this... If I pull back enough, looks like they're on the same level. But, of course, when you turn around, they're not.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the situation.
Are there shadows on the ground?
I would have to look at it. I'm sure there is.
Because I'm going off of what I've been playing with Streets of Rage and the history of playing that game.
Right, but do this.
Yeah, exactly. So if there's a flying enemy in the thing, first thing I'm going to do, I can't line it up on the screen, so I'm going to line up the shadows on the floor. There's usually a shadow on the floor to let you know where you're in the
worth trying. Absolutely worth remembering the tip, yes.
So if you don't have anything that can attack them directly, going from Streets of Rage lore, Streets of Rage technique, wait for them to attack. Usually it's like a diving attack or something like that, and I can use something to counter it. If I counter it, they're down on the ground, and then you can come up on them and attack that way.
Yeah.
So it's probably the same thing that's been going on, because it's the same company.
It's same developers.
So do it that. So I would say do it that way. Look for the shadows to line up stuff.
Yeah, but it was just fun. And the better thing with that, and I really liked it, by the way. I didn't get very far into it. I think I unlocked Venom, which I think is maybe six stages in, and I don't know how many stages there are. I think there's quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And I had unlocked Venom. What am I trying to remember? You get to pick two characters to play as, you know, and you can tag team in and out of the characters. And it was always best to get, you know, regardless of who you picked, make sure one of them could fly. Because Storm can fly, Iron Man can fly.
Storm, Iron Man, Nova. Oh, the people you unlock eventually.
Right, exactly. You've got guys that can fly. Spider-Man can't.
Yeah.
Wolverine cannot. She-Hulk cannot. Rocket cannot. But Captain America can't either. Mm-hmm. But the other guys that can fly, you can get up there and, you know, that helps.
I would think Captain America would throw the shield at it.
Oddly enough. And maybe there's a mechanic where you can do a lock-on, but the shield is strictly, yes, it is a thrown object, but a thrown object to someone in the air, not without you jumping and throwing.
Okay.
And make sure you're lined up, otherwise the shield just goes out and comes back.
Okay.
Doesn't hit anything. So you have to make sure you're lined up and then throw in mid-air jump. Because it is a strictly, I'm going to shoot level, I am not going to shoot at an angle, in any way or not. That's it. So, Marvel Cosmic Invasion is absolutely it's on Game Pass. So if you have Game Pass, you have the ability to play that on your Xbox of whatever kind, be it PC or be it on your console. A really, really fun game. It was something I was looking forward to. And the fact that it was on Game Pass was like, oh, great, I can play this and not have to put any money out there towards it. Although I'm not opposed to putting some money out there towards it. Really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun. And it's more fun for me, I think, than it is for, not necessarily for you, but more fun for me than it is for what you took enjoyment out of Streets of Rage 4 and those others, just because the IP that they're dealing with is something that I'm familiar with.
Yeah. Same here for me with Streets of Rage 4 was the nostalgia bit and the fact that all those characters that were available from the history of the game was available to play with. So, drew me in for that.
Played that, and I'm still playing, you know, Snap on my phone. Did I do anything else? Sonic Shadow Generations.
Okay.
Yeah, just...
What inspired you to play that?
What did inspire me to play? Well, I finished up Ball Pit, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, eh, what do? And I keep seeing the Sonic games because I really, as much as I don't necessarily play Sonic games, I apparently really love to buy Sonic games when they're on the cheap. I had Sonic Frontiers and I had Sonic X Shadow Generations from last year during sales and stuff like that that I picked up. Never, it's been a year now. Never touched them until now. So, do I have? Hang on a second. Are we? Nope, we're not in the voice chat. Here we go. Now we're in the voice chat. Sorry. I've had them for a year. Haven't played them. I loaded up Frontiers first. It came before, you know, it's the earlier of the two that I have. So I thought, well, let me go through that and see if that will hold me. That was bad. That was horrible. I thought it was going to be fun at first, but it was absolutely bad. From the situation of not knowing how to control my character. I mean, I know it's Sonic. You just move. Mm-hmm. But just not knowing what to do, feeling completely lost and clueless in a game, in an open world game, which is also strange for a Sonic title to have an open world game.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably put in 30 minutes, maybe 45, maybe less than that. I don't think it was an hour, but I could be surprised. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, nope, done, uninstall. I was done. Yeah. It helped that I had another Sonic game waiting for me, and one that is based on a previous iteration that I was familiar with and knew.
Yeah.
Because it's Sonic Shadow Generations built upon the original Sonic Generations.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so playing through that, I mean, that's fun. Mm-hmm. You go back to the original, it's exactly what it is, except they added some shadow levels, and that's great. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, it earned its review aggregate score of whatever it is, very positive, mm-hmm. overwhelmingly positive. I'm not sure. It absolutely earned it. So, what about you? What have you played?
I've started playing a little bit more of First Ascended, trying to get some daily login bonuses and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Better weapons and things that have been coming out. They're trying to give away. They're just giving away pieces of... what you need to get new characters in there. I think everybody was trying to get the new Ultimate Yujin, the medic, in the game. So they have an ultimate version. Eventually, they're going to have an ultimate version of every character in the game. So I don't think I'm going to spend much time on default characters. I'm just going to wait for the ultimate version to come out and then start grinding to get those characters unlocked. Because the best way to increase your level in the game is to unlock new characters and new equipment and things of that nature. So just... by my time and unlock the ultimate parts, because I had there's one character I had, Luna, a support character, and it was nice and all, but then I saw about a while later the ultimate version came out, so I'm just gonna have to get rid of this character and just start grinding for the ultimate version of the character that I had. So I'm going to be doing the same thing with Ultimate Yujin, because I have Yujin right now, but I'm going to grind for the ultimate version much later on. Let's see, Grand Theft Auto Online had a new update. So I started using that. They had mansions and safe houses installed. And there's a lot of features in the game, in the safe house, that allows you to build up your business. So you can build more product and a higher value at a better rate. So you can do all that. And there's a whole bunch of other features that it allows you to do. It makes earning money in the game easier and simpler. Problem is you have to spend, 10 or 11 million in-game currency just to open the thing up. So you're going to have to...
You're throwing out like $1 million thing, but I know it comes pretty easy in the game. You know.
I mean, with some grinding, yeah, it's going to take some time to do so. But yeah, you'll get it eventually. But you had that going on with GTA Online. But I also played some something new, a game that just came out of nowhere to me. I wasn't paying attention to it, apparently. Mutant Football League 2 came out recently.
Mutant Football League's been out for a long time.
Yeah, I'm talking about 2, the sequel.
The sequel just came out?
Yeah.
The sequel to a game that's probably like 25 years old, probably more because...
No, then you had Mutant Football League came out from Digital Dreams Entertainment that came out a while back. 2020, something like that.
Why do I think Mutant Football League's been around for a very...
It has been. You're thinking about EA Sports version of
Mutant Football League.
Mutant League Football.
Mutant League Football,
yeah.
Okay.
So that's what it's based on. So, yeah, they had the Digital Dreams made that remake of it a while back, and now they've made the sequel to it, which came out of nowhere for me, and I picked that up, started playing at. So I was trying to go through the roster, and I'm seeing all the rosters that was there from the original, well, the remake. You had to DLC some other teams that they created over the years when they made the remake. So they were all available in the in number two, in two. So that was a good thing, having that available. And I'm still getting used to all the dirty tricks, offense and defense, and things of that nature. You know, a lot of things are still the same, but they've made some improvements over this time. So I'm thinking I'm going to have a good time with that. Just downloaded, installed, and got the quick fix of how to play, get a refresher because it's been a minute. So getting through that, playing the game, I'm having a good time with it so far, and I'll probably be splitting my time between GTA, that New Winds Meet, and all the other titles there. So I got plenty to play this week and for the rest of the month.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not really clamoring for something to really sink my teeth into right now. I'm okay with, you know, popping into Ball Pit every now and again to run a score, or firing up Sonic and doing something there, or, you know, I'm playing Spider-Man, by the way. I went back to Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man 2 on the PS5. I went back to that, and I'm just, you know, I hit that every now and again. But I'm okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I know there's been times where it's like, I got to have something to play, and right now I'm good. You know, I'm feeling all right about it.
But you think about it, we always have something to play. We got a backlog
That was exactly my next point. Like, I think I've got enough that I know I want to get to in my backlog. Horizon Forbidden West, Horizon Zero Dawn, which I never even finished, but I have those on PC now, mm-hmm. and I also have Ghost of Tsushima.
I almost had it.
I know. It's just a screw up name. And some of the easiest, and I hear them all the time. But I will screw up a name. So just to know, you know, I've got these in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Pop them on when I'm ready to sit down and really sink my teeth into them. I don't feel the need to buy anything new, to play anything new. I did pick up Donkey Kong Bonanza, and I haven't started that yet. Mm-hmm. You know, so it feels like when I'm ready, I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When that time comes, I got plenty to pick from.
Yeah.
And I don't feel the need to, like, I'm going to get the... And I also bought, I haven't played, but I also bought the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Mm-hmm.
It was on sale for Black Friday, I think, and I picked that up for like $20.
Yeah.
For PC. So, yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're dive right into the Game Awards and go over... I don't know. Do you want to go over the awards first, or do you want to go over the new stuff that was announced first? One's going to take longer than the other, I think.
Okay, well, just get the quick one out of the way first.
We'll get the quick one out of the way first, according to RJ. We will get the quick one out of the way by doing, I think, the awards part of it first. Mm-hmm. So we'll go over some of that. As you know, it's the holiday season, and that's when we have Christmas music. I was able to find 6 new tracks of video game Christmas music. At least I got that done.
Good job.
Because, just to let you know today, I did not have the music ready until today. I did not have all of our notes organized until today. Just completely slipped my mind. But I'm good now. So here we go. We're going to start with this one. It's a really horrible game. I believe it's on sale now. You can pick it up, but it's absolutely just disgusting looking. It's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I mean, that's the game. This is called Sleigh Ride. So we'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Welcome back into in-game chat. Music from Overcooked, which is odd. Kind of a cooking game. I guess it's a cooking game. It's called Overcooked. It's got food on it. It looks like a cooking game. It's one I've never played, but like I own all three of them. Overcooked, Overcooked 2 and 3 and whatever else kind of things. It just, you know, you end up owning these things, but you never play them. That track is called Ice, by the way. Welcome back in to in-game chat. So the Game Awards were Thursday night, and we had some winners. I basically could tell you that Clair Obscur, Expedition 33, fantastic game, by the way. If you're not into turn-based things, which I am not.
Same here.
But I really, really liked this.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. Does it mean that I am now someone who seeks out and looks for turn-based games? Nope. No, not in the least. Not at all. But I think that speaks to Clair Obscur for making a genre, or I'd say a game mechanic, not necessarily a genre.
A game good enough to make you give it a shot.
Right, a game that handles its mechanics so well that it can pull me in and keep me going with a mechanic that I can't stand. But I never felt frustrated by it. I never felt like, God, I hate this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've tried on games that I don't like, you know, I've never been a Final Fantasy person. But I just told you I bought Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah.
I'm constantly looking to see, not only have my taste changed, you know, like, hey, as a kid you hated this, but then as an adult you're like, boy, that's really good. Like, you know, broccoli whatever the hell it could be. Most people go with broccoli. I don't even remember not liking it. I don't, as you can see, I don't think I was ever given it. But, but yeah, things you didn't like earlier on, but you've changed your taste now. You have different tastes.
Yeah.
So I always kind of return back to genres, mechanics, different things like that, that I'm saying, let's see if this can change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Clair Obscur did not change my mind on turn-based combat, games, things like that. It's not, but apparently what they did, and you'd have to go back to the show where I talked about it then to find out exactly why, because it's been, when was that, February? April?
When the game came out?
Clair? Yeah.
Yeah, let's see.
I want to say it was like February.
Mm-hmm.
It's been many, many months and a neck surgery since I played the game.
Late April.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, it's been many, many months and neck surgery since I played the game. I can't exactly tell you why they did it better or why it worked for me, but I mean, it's a game to go through, and it absolutely worked. If I can play a game like that, it's kind of like movies, you know, where you sit, wow, that movie was 3 hours long, but it felt like it was only 10 minutes, or it was like an hour, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
where you're not paying attention to the time.
Yeah, a good story will make you lose track of time.
Man, let me tell you, stories.
Yeah.
Love me some stories. And they did such a great job. They did a great job with their stories, their settings, their levels, their environments, their characters, their voice acting, their music. It was well done.
I think it was like ease of play, good story, and pure entertainment. They hit those three elements, and that'll nine times out of ten, that'll keep you locked in and play the game through.
Yeah. Here we go. French developer Sandfall Interactive's critically acclaimed RPG took home the biggest prize of the night, along with the awards for, oh my God. The only categories it was nominated for but didn't win were Best Audio Design, which was won by Battlefield 6, and the player-voted Player's Voice Award, which was won by Wuthering Waves. So out of, what did they have? 13 nominations. They only missed two. Actually, what I'm going to say is Clair Obscur had already broken the record for the most Game Awards nominations with 13, but Sandfall's haul of 9 awards. The math's not working on that for me. How do you get nominated 13 times You tell me that
the studio took
only missed two that they were nominated for,
so they got
but
11.
Only took home with nine.
Sandfall took nine. So individual people got awards.
I was going to say probably voice actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm looking at the list. Best score in music was Clair Obscur for to Lorien Testard.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, individual people got.
You said that better than me, and I still don't know if you're correct, but you said it better than I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they came home with, it says, nine awards. Also means the game has set a new record for the most awards won at the Game Awards, a record that was previously set by The Last of Us Part II, which won seven back at the 2020 show. Mm-hmm. The game was so dominant that no other game scored multiple awards on the night. In other words, any game that won, it was the one they won. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Claire just ran away with it. So, let's go. I don't want to just start with Game of the Year. But I'm also going to skip, like, esports team, esports athlete, esports game. And I'm sorry for those of you who might be listening that are like, well, that's the one I wanted to hear. I don't think there's any of you. Content creator, skipping that. Player's voice, you already told you. Most anticipated game was Grand Theft Auto 6. That's, yes. We never went over that. I remembered as the Game Awards were starting, I realized that we never went over the nominees of the week prior.
Mm-hmm.
I had said we would, but boy, we never even got there. So, Grand Theft Auto 6, Best Adaptation. This is the one where it's like, hey, what shows on TV were adapted from video games? The nominees were a Minecraft movie. I say shows on TV, but it's a movie. Minecraft movie, Devil May Cry, Last of Us Season 2, Splinter Cell Death Watch, and Until Dawn. Just to go into the movie side of things for a second, I've not seen a Minecraft movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't figure, and well, maybe I should, as many people who play Minecraft. But I don't figure there's a lot of people who are concerned about the lore of what was shown on screen. You know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. Minecraft. They're probably like, oh, hey, Minecraft, there's a square goat. You know, there's a whatever. They're happy. Mm-hmm. It's a creeper. I see it. It's great. They're probably happy with that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone's looking at that and saying, that's not exactly what that, you know, being technical about it.
Someone is, but that's the minority.
Like the older nerds do. Exactly. Nitpick it apart. That's me. So I don't care. Devil May Cry. Again, if you've not seen this, see it. It's on Netflix. Even if you don't have any idea of what Devil May Cry is, it's a really good animated show. I mean, if you like animated action things, go for it. It's really good. It's fantastic. There's some fantastic voice acting in there. Oh, some really good voice acting in there. And the music, top-notch. Absolutely top-notch. The best angsty 90s you've heard since the angsty 90s.
Mm.
I would say mid-90s. Mm. What else do we have? Last of Us Season 2 was good. Not as good as Season 1, though. Mm. But it was good. It's the one that won, by the way. Splinter Cell Death Watch, I'm really enjoying. I still haven't finished it. But again, Netflix, animated, it's really good. I like it. I mean, I like Splinter Cell, and since I haven't had Splinter Cell since 2013, I will take your animation adaptation in 2025. Mm-hmm. And Until Dawn, that's the one that I really kind of wanted to get to tell you about. And I realize that I'm drawing this out, and that's how I normally do with these things. I just kind of go on a rant. Until Dawn practically takes the name of the game, and that's about it. I mean, it puts a group of friends into a horror situation,
mm-hmm.
just like the game does. There is one segment that involves the character, or at least the killer, from the main game. There's only one segment. But the way it works, it's been done before with Happy Death Day, Groundhog Day, but in a horror setting.
Not familiar with that one, but yeah.
Oh, Happy Death Day was really good. The first one was great. The second one is not too bad, but the first one was fantastic. It combined, like, your nerd stuff with your horror stuff.
Okay.
You know, time loop, of waking up every time you die and going through the same day with the knowledge of what had happened before, and also horror. It worked together.
Okay.
Until Dawn has somewhat of the same thing going on for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't try and compare it to the game and just take it at face value of what it is as a movie, I think it works. I absolutely think it works.
That's the problem.
You can't do that?
Who's watching a movie about Until Dawn?
People who have probably never played the game, and they could work for them. You know what I'm saying? Because if you have played the game and you see that, you're like, that's not Until Dawn, and so you don't watch it.
No.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
You're not going to watch it. It's that thing. It's like the same thing with Max Payne, the one with Mark Wahlberg. I said about that movie, if you've never played Max Payne,
that's horrible.
You're probably going to enjoy a film.
Yeah.
But if you've played Until Dawn, you're not going to enjoy this movie.
Maybe. I mean, I have played Until Dawn, but for whatever reason, I was able to separate the fact that this movie is, okay, obviously we're not getting Until Dawn, because once they pull that rug out from under you, because you don't actually know this, and I'm sorry if I spoiled anything, but once they pull that rug out from under you with that first reset, because the first kill is dude from the game. Not the first death, but the first guy who's going around killing the kids is that masked guy from the game. And once they pull that rug out and start switching things up, it's like, oh, okay, we're not doing that. You know?
Yeah.
And that's fine if you can't make that separation. But once that happened, that was when I was like, well, then I can't compare you to the game anymore. I just have to enjoy you as you are. You know, because you're doing something different that the game didn't do. And so I'll take that. That's my rant. We'll stop. I'll keep moving from there and try and be more succinct and go through this a lot better. Best multiplayer game is not going to work for me because I haven't played any of these. Elden Ring, Night Rain, Peak, Split Fiction, and Battlefield 6. Ark Raiders is what won, which is on my curiosity list. You know, I'm kind of curious about Ark Raiders, but I still haven't pulled the trigger. Best sports and racing game was Mario Kart World. I'm surprised that beat out Sonic Racing Cross Worlds, because I really like Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. I haven't played Sonic Racing Cross Worlds, because the only discount they're giving is on console, and I'd really like to play it on PC.
Yeah, but Mario Kart.
Right. It's kind of like I've already got a game on my console for that, but it's Mario Kart.
Yeah.
It's, you know?
Yeah, Mario Kart, yeah.
It's the GTA of kart racers. It's always kind of going to do that. It's the originator. Is it the originator? I think it may be the originator. Probably isn't, but...
Well, it's one that got the biggest name over time, so yeah.
I mean, it started in it's the SNES days.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What was that thing called? The Mode 7 chip? You remember that?
Don't remember that.
Star Fox had it. Mario Kart had it. They called it the Mode 7.
The only thing I remember was Sega's Blast Processing.
The Blast Processing. For that was the response to the SNES's Mode 7 thing, whatever it was. F-Zero was using it. Mario Kart was using it. What was the other one that I said was using it? Star Fox.
Star Fox, yeah.
Yeah. So, best sim strategy game, Final Fantasy Tactics. That's another one I want, but has not seen a sale just yet, so I am still holding out for that. Best family game, Donkey Kong Bonanza. Good job, DK. Best fighting game, Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves. Beat out Mortal Kombat Legacy Collection, which I'm sure it would.
Yeah.
Best RPG, Clair Obscur. Best action-adventure game, Hollow Knight Silksong is something I've not played. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle was one that I had played, and obviously would probably get my vote, but going up against Death Stranding 2 or Ghosts of Yote and Silksong, I knew it really didn't have a chance to win that one. Best action game was Hades 2, beating out two of your faves in Ninja Gaiden 4 and Shinobi. Best VR game, Midnight Walk. What else do we have? Best mobile game. I will skip that because I'm going to mispronounce it.
Umamusume.
Pretty Derby.
Pretty Derby.
Won that. Best debut indie game, Clair Obscur. I don't know about the indie part. Best independent game, Clair Obscur. Again, not sure about it. Listen, you've got to figure out how you define independent.
What's your base the definition of independent right now?
That's tough.
Small number of members.
Right. People? It's like, is it because you have a small studio, or because you are self-funded, or you're just, I don't know.
Bellatro, you would say,
is an independent. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't know who his publisher was, but I guess it's him. I think he's self-published.
Yeah, one person.
So yeah,
definitely one person.
That
two
seems
person
to
thing,
feel like in there, right? Yeah,
independent.
There's 300 people that work at this studio.
Okay, yeah.
But again, I don't think they're backed by anybody but themselves. It's not like some big corporation owns them that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's a back and forth for another day as far as trying to figure out what...
Maybe it's just the independent compared to the AAA studios. Just the direct comparison.
That's the other thing, you know?
To make it think it's like independent.
Let's look at the debut indie games in the nominations.
Yeah.
Dispatch, Blueprints, and... let me screw this up. Despelote. By the way, this is the category that Megabonk was... also nominated for, but he backed out because he's like, it's not necessarily my debut.
Okay.
He felt like he was on a team that published a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, this is not my debut game. I've been here. I've done this before.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he was the sole developer and he did everything himself, he didn't feel like he was a debut because he had been with a team that had done a game before.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So... that's why he pulled from that. I don't know. The other three games that are in the category for debut indie game, I can't tell you. Best independent game, you had Absalom, which I don't know about. Ball Pit. Now, Ball Pit might be a little different. That is Devolver Digital. They're not necessarily releasing triple A's, but they got plenty of money behind them to help with things. So I'm not exactly sure. Blueprints was also nominated, Hades 2 and Hollow Knight Silksong as well, but Clair Obscur won. But yeah, I think there's a... and maybe there's somewhere in the Game Awards rules or whatever that defines for them what independent means.
Mm-hmm.
And if that fits the criteria, then that's why they're in there. You'd have to go ask them. Best Community Support, Baldur's Gate 3. Best Ongoing Game, No Man's Sky. Best Games for Impact. South of Midnight took that one home. I was somewhat surprised. Wander Stop is very good. Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, also very good. I have not played that, but I've seen plenty about it. So South of Midnight, I mean, it's Compulsion Games. We've had them on the show before. Every boss has a song. Almost every level has a song that had to be written and performed and composed and everything else by that dev team. It's not like they went and they hired a musician or whatever. They all did this themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's pretty impressive. I mean, I told you I tried to find music for South of Midnight once, and the way we do music here is I know vocals. It's hard to do for South of Midnight.
Yeah.
Because they wrote all of these songs. Let's see. Innovation and Accessibility. Doom the Dark Ages won that one. Best Performance. Jennifer English for Clair Obscur. Keep in mind, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There were 6 nominees for this. 3 of those were Clair Obscur actors.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have? Best Audio Design, Battlefield 6. We told you that. Best Score and Music, Clair Obscur. Best Art Direction, Clair Obscur. Best Narrative, Clair Obscur. Best Game Direction, Clair Obscur. Game of the Year, Clair Obscur. I had mentioned in previous episodes that I figured they would run with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said they'll win everything they were nominated for.
Mm-hmm.
They apparently missed out on 2.
Yeah.
So I wasn't too far off.
Yeah, I was expecting shenanigans because I asked off air who. Who judges?
Yeah, I was seeing if maybe it was in here too. What I was looking at, and it's not. But yeah, because I wanted to give you that statement that they have. And I mean, if I went to their website, I'm sure it would tell me as far as who is involved mm-hmm. in judging these games. Not only judging them, I think also nominating them, I believe. Mm-hmm. They have a hand in that as well. So, but there you go. Those are your winners for the game awards. The interesting thing to think about with these is, like, we talk about this and we do it and they hype this thing up. Most, you know, not just because there are awards at the end of the year, but because there's so many reveals that take place. There's so many major announcements of new games and everything else. But mm-hmm. they make it this thing. And, I mean, you remember when this thing started on, like, Spike TV for a long time ago, and it was horrible. They've tried to build this into something that is like this, you know,
something respectable.
Respectable, meaningful thing. And I mean, for the most part, comparison, they've done a good job.
Look, video games is too big of a cog of entertainment to not have something respectable.
And we do have that.
Yeah.
In the DICE Awards, I think it's the DICE Awards, and the BAFTAs.
Mm-hmm.
We do have that. We don't talk about it as much, but we do have that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about it as much because they don't show a bunch of ads during those award shows.
Yeah.
My point in what I was getting to this is that right now I'm telling you who these winners are. Now, next year it's going to be a little bit easier, but if I were to ask you last year who were the winners, I can't tell you. I don't remember. I'll remember this one just because of the massive sweep that Clair Obscur had.
Yeah.
But I don't remember whose last year's game of the year was.
Yeah,
I mean, and I'm not asking you to look it up. I'm
no,
just saying.
But that's what I'm going to do.
This is how it.
That's how you do it.
That's how it sticks in your head. It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember seeing game boxes that now have a sticker on them saying like Game Awards winner. You know, mm-hmm. used to, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you who has one. And it's a sticker from the Spike Video Game Awards.
Mm-hmm.
It's Burnout Revenge. There are later boxes of Burnout Revenge that were, you know, produced that have a sticker on it saying Spike Video Game Awards winner. I don't remember what it won, but yeah. Or nominee, maybe. I'm not sure.
Astrobot.
Mm. See? Told you. And I love that game.
Yeah.
And I did not remember that it won Game of the Year.
Yeah.
I'm starting to remember Baldur's Gate 3 won Game of the Year. We talked about Last of Us Part 2 winning Game of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm starting to remember some of them. But, yeah, Astrobot, man, deserving that win, they are. So, all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will go over everything that was shown off at the Game Awards. And I tell you this because there is so much. And I don't necessarily think we're going to go over every single title that was announced. By the way, haven't looked at our chat room yet. So I apologize if you guys are like, oh, no, let me throw this out. Yeah. Yeah, Brian RTR says Spike TV in general was horrible. Yes, it was. Quite, yeah. Again, going back to that mid-90s angsty thing. Sure, Spike TV, there you go. All right, we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. We're going to a break here, and we're going out with a track from Mario Party 3. It's called Chilly Waters, and we'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Welcome back into Endgame Chat. You've got music there from Mario Maker 2. Name of the track is called Snow. Oh, and it looks like we have another Mario track coming up when we go into the next break. So, you know, good on the Mario guys for making snow levels, Christmas levels, whatever you want to say, something that I can use in the month of December for Christmas music. Holiday music, whatever you want to call it, just the fact that it's got that vibe. So, let's go over the massive announcements that we got from the Game Awards. I'm not doing the Day of the Devs one just yet, although there's a lot from the Day of the Devs that you actually did get to see at the Game Awards stuff. So we'll just we'll go with it. These are not in the order they were announced. In fact, I don't know what order this is. Because the website I'm getting this from did not say. We got an announcement of Star Wars, Fate of the Old Republic. It's being directed by Casey Hudson, which was the director of the original Knights of the Old Republic, and he had some time working on the Mass Effect series.
Mm-hmm.
Not Andromeda, but the first three. This is just to say, dude can write some games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Can write a story. Can make this... Can you feel trusted with this in his hands?
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to start my very first rant, or I say my very first rant, but this is going to start my rant for this segment of the show. Saw the announcement for it. Was like, hey, that's great. You didn't get a date, and that's fine. You're not going to get a date on a lot of these. They're either too underdeveloped at the moment. They're not even in development at the moment. Whatever the case may be.
Yeah, this is just to put it out there for the to get it in the...
Yeah, yeah, it's like, hey, they got a game coming out. That's great. I read an article where this game, at the earliest, could get a release in 2030.
Hmm.
Why, in the year 2025, are you announcing a game that might, remember, game development takes time. 2030 is a pipe dream, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky if you hit that date, if that is the expected date of, like, it might hit 2030. Like, if you're already telling me that it's not going to get released until maybe 2030, that means you really haven't done anything. You've made this trailer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You made this CG trailer, which, by the way, that's another thing to go off of, is trailers that... They get hype going, man, but you have to understand, you did not see any game. You saw computer-generated graphics telling a story, but you didn't see, you know, anything of what that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't see of how the game plays, how it does anything. You didn't see any of that stuff.
Right.
So... Keep that in mind, because Star Wars Fate of the Old Republic gave us no gameplay.
Mm.
How could it? It doesn't come out until 2030. If that. So, anyway, I just don't understand why you announce a game this far out.
Mm.
It doesn't seem like it has any sort of, you know, investor-like stuff, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why you do that. It just seems way too far out there for anybody to remember.
Yeah, because I'm thinking with a five-year, possibly five-year, maybe six-year gap, you're going to have to remind the audience of this year after year after year. If you do that, it'll be completely forgotten,
you know,
about.
It's one of those things where it's just like, it's just too far. Why would you make that announcement? Why? Anyway, I don't understand it, but yeah. Then we got an ad for the new Divinity game, which is, what, Divinity, I think is all it's called. All it's got a title for right now is just Divinity. That's from Larian Studios, likely another game that is quite a ways away. I don't know about 2030, but it's down the road.
Yeah. 2 years, that'd be a good estimate?
Two, probably. I would 2 years before we start seeing some really heavy advertising for it, or get a date for it or something like that. So maybe 27, maybe 28.
Okay.
I don't exactly know how far they've been. Again, we got nothing but video. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We got no gameplay.
Yeah.
You don't know what that game looks like. You know this really nice little sizzle reel of ooh, this looks neat, but does this what the game looks like? I don't know.
No.
You didn't show me any
so
of
we're
that.
Getting concept reels.
I know.
Yeah.
That's
we're working on a game that hopefully will follow this concept.
What did we call it? We called them bull shots. You remember this? Do you remember them being... Okay, so this is going back years, and I realize that I am, again, going off tangent here. There was... I want to say it was a Madden game.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was Madden. Football.
Yeah.
And there were screenshots. Still images. Not this was back before video was like, oh, I can just go to YouTube and look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You couldn't. You had to go to game trailers and look it up.
Yeah.
But there were screenshots. There were articles and magazine screenshots, that sort of thing, of what the thing looked like. And it looked amazing. And then when it finally was shown in motion and everything else, it looked horrible. And so, or at least it did not compare to what you saw. And so they called them bull shots.
Mm-hmm.
We get that in video form now.
Yeah.
Although none of these are claiming that this is what the game's going to look like. They just, it's just a... Here's the other thing, and I've said this before with E3, anything like this of what you're watching, it's the Game Awards, you're seeing announcements for games. Understand, you're looking at advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
These are still ads, and they're doing everything that ads do to get your attention. And they're not showing you a product, they're just telling you the title of a project, and maybe a date, if you got that.
Mm-hmm.
But now the ones that show gameplay, that's different. But like I said, most of these did not. We got another game called Coven of the Chicken Foot. It is the debut game from Bruce Straley. If you know that name, he used to work for Naughty Dog. Worked on Uncharted. Worked on Last of Us. He was a director there. And this is his game, Coven of the Chicken Foot. I really liked what it looked like. I was kind of interested in it. We had... Capcom officially announced Leon Kennedy would be in Resident Evil Requiem. I don't know enough about Resident Evil lore to know why that's a big deal. Maybe you do.
Well, Steve, I don't even know what the game is really about. All I know is that the main character was one of them, Ashcroft, a relative of the villains from Code Veronica.
Right.
And Code Veronica, that's the first time I've heard the name Ashcroft. That I can recall, because they were the main villains of that game. And now I guess a relative of that family, Grace, I believe her name is the main protagonist of the game. But yeah. I don't know why Leon Kennedy would be...
enough to get his own trailer.
I mean, he's a popular character, I get that, but...
He is, but for whatever reason, I don't know, because earlier before the Game Awards, earlier this week, the PlayStation Store... updated their listing for the game, and they updated the thumbnail artwork.
Yeah.
And it had a big old, his face right there on the artwork, and people were like, look at this, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And showing that off. Apparently it's a big deal. I don't follow the lore, but there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else did we get? New trailer for Exodus, which is from Wizards of the Coast, and it's got Mr. Matthew McConaughey in it, and he narrates the trailer, of course, which... He does so in a way that everybody says, is that? Oh, it is. Yeah, that kind of way. Control Resonance, we got that announced. I'm just giving you the titles. I'm not really going into anything as far as the what it does, what it's about. Control Resonance is just a semi-sequel to Control.
Yeah, sequel to Control, yeah.
Exactly. We also got the debut game from the creator of the Yakuza series. It's called Gang of Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
We got a new Tomb Raider game. In fact, we got two new Tomb Raider games. A remake called Tomb Raider Legacy of Atlantis. And a sequel called Tomb Raider Catalyst. They have both been revealed for a 26 release and a 27 release. Now, here's an exception.
Okay.
You're going to show me a legacy game like Tomb Raider? You don't have to show me gameplay. We know how that plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you're changing the game mechanic, then obviously we do. But We know how that game plays. You can show us CGI trailers all day, mm-hmm. but we know how Tomb Raider works. You don't have to do it. Mm-hmm. But if it's on a new IP, man, how's your game? What's your game look like? What does it play? What does it do? Mm-hmm. So, we saw the villain for the 007 First Light game. His name is called Bauma. Mm-hmm. I hope I pronounce that right. Bauma. Apparently, it's performed and voiced by Lenny Kravitz. Now, there's a name I haven't heard mm-hmm. in a long time. What else did we get? The next game from the folks behind The Ascent. It's a cyberpunk. Man, let me tell you about words. Yeah. They are difficult at times.
They can be.
The Ascent, it's a cyberpunk FPS in Unreal Engine 5. It's called No Law.
Hmm. Going back to that thing with...
Which also, by the way, had no gameplay. Right. Maybe it did, I don't know.
I was thinking about something with 007 First Light. Is he going to play, is it a villain or the villain? Main villain.
I think it says the main villain, doesn't it? He will play, oh, it says a villain.
Play a villain.
Ooh.
So who's the villain? That's what I'm trying to get at, the main villain.
I don't know, man. I feel like you put money in front of Lenny Kravitz to voice and perform a character.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably your main guy, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but I'm not sure how it probably isn't, but... You know,
who knows?
We'll see.
Nope, time will tell.
I know. Yeah, so normally, in Bond films and everything else, there's always the one guy.
Yeah, this is that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one main villain.
So we'll have to see how that goes. Because unlike a film, this isn't 2.5 hours. This is a stretched across a very long game.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have? A PlayStation 5 exclusive, Saros, if I'm pronouncing that right, and you know my streak, probably not. Saros, been delayed until April. There was a reveal for a game called Bradley the Badger. I don't know. It says in quotes here, this is a love letter to games. I wasn't sure exactly how it worked, but it had settings that were very reminiscent of other games. The screenshot that they're using in this article obviously references The Last of Us with its overgrown, dystopian, zombie-filled city. And, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there were other things. I remember there was a cyberpunk setting from Cyberpunk 2077. There were a couple of other settings, and I'm not exactly sure how it works.
I was about to say, is this trying to be like what Astrobot did?
It's given me a little bit Astrobot vibes,
mm-hmm.
but it's also pulling from, like, Astrobot pulled from Sony games.
Mm-hmm.
Horizon, Uncharted, Last of Us, God of War. This one's pulling from Last of Us, Cyberpunk. I don't know what else. Maybe Sonic. It's pulling from all different types of all different platforms.
Okay. Yeah.
So it has a little bit more of a broader thing, but I really can't. I did show gameplay, but I couldn't get a sense of, like, what's going on? How is that working? What is happening?
Yeah.
I could not get any sense of, like, how the story works, what's going on with it. I don't know. But there was a lot of gameplay shown, which makes me think we're going to hear more about that sooner rather than later.
Right.
We had another Star Wars game. It's a racer, Galactic Racer, Star Wars Galactic Racer. It was a new debut title from Fuse Games. They are a studio that was founded by former leads at Criterion. Criterion, of course, the makers of my Burnout series that I love so very much. That kind of has my attention. At first, I was just like, oh, they're remaking Star Wars Pod Racer, because that's exactly what it looked like.
Mm-hmm. But there were no pods, though, was it?
There were the...
A bucket with two rockets attached.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
There was one that looked like that. I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah.
As it went on, that's what I thought. I thought we were getting, oh, they're doing a Pod Racer, like a, you know, ground-up remake for Pod Racer.
Yeah. Because I remember playing the Pod Racer game in the arcade. Playing that, and that was a whole lot of fun, because that was an aspect that I didn't haven't got before, the left and right control, right. The level of thrust on the left and right pods to get where you wanted to go.
I'm more talking about not the arcade one, but the one that was released on home consoles.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Is that N64?
I want to say yeah.
I think it was N64 days. What else do we have? A new Mega Man game titled Mega Man Dual Overdrive is coming in 2027. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's the... Is that the same... Is that Mega Man 12, basically? Because we haven't had a new Mega Man game in, like, 15 years.
I think the last I saw was that Mega Man 11.
Yeah. In fact, I just picked up Mega Man. It was on sale for less than $5 mm-hmm. on Steam, and I picked up Mega Man 11.
Yep.
This was after I picked up a couple of days... I say a couple of days ago... a week or so ago, I picked up Mega Man Legacy Collection 1 and Mega Man Legacy Collection 2 yep. on PC.
I looked at this and I was thinking of, you remember Mega Man 8?
I don't actually remember any of them.
Okay, yeah.
I remember Mega Man 1 because that was a game that I, for whatever reason, first off, it's got the ugliest box art in the world.
Yeah.
Secondly, I remember getting my mother to buy it for me because obviously this was at a time where it was like I had no independent income. Mm-hmm. And so you had to ask nicely for these things.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a Christmas gift. It was a, hey, you just got a brand new system and we want to get you a game to play for it. Here's this, you know, for whatever reason, that cover was like, this is the one I want, which is really weird to say. Mm-hmm. To look at it now and say, this is the one I want when it had that horrible box art. And I played it, and it was hard.
Yeah.
It was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That
was part of its charm.
Yeah, my kid brain just could not figure it out. I didn't realize when you beat an enemy, you gain their powers.
Yeah.
Never occurred to me.
I don't think that was a thing back in those days either, was it?
No, of course it wasn't.
Yeah,
but
it was
I'm sure it was in the instruction booklet. Mm-hmm. And I never read this. I don't remember reading the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something, and that's, and I'm not doing the male stereotypes of like, oh, instructions. I'm not doing that because I remember distinctly reading all of my instruction booklets every time I got a new game.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Every single time.
Same here.
Whether it be on the car ride home, again, because somebody was driving me, because again, I was not, yeah. Or I would get home, sit down, open up the instruction booklet, read that first, then I would go to play. Yep. Absolutely all, every single time. And it's likely I did that with Mega Man, but I didn't remember that that was the case. I don't remember.
You don't remember being mentioned in there at
all? I'm not sure, man. But I went through that thing. It was tough because I was not using what I was supposed to be using.
Yeah.
Anyway, just as a reminiscent thing, I'm going back to try and... again, what did I tell you earlier? Mm-hmm. I try to go back to old games that I did not connect with.
Yep.
To see if maybe I do now.
Yeah.
I went a little overboard and bought a bunch of Mega Man games, but mm-hmm. I'm curious now if I have that connection to them.
Yeah. But I was saying earlier that when I saw this thing, it reminded me of a very touched up image of a Mega Man 8, which is one of the best Mega Man games I've played.
Oh, okay.
Was that one. And then I've seen the ones with Mega Man 9, 10, 11, things like that. But I would be interested in playing...
Dual Overdrive?
Yeah, Dual Overdrive.
Yeah. 2027 on that. Here's some other headlines. We had The Free Shepherd, which was one of the first things I saw at the Game Awards. It's an indie game where you play as a sheepdog herding sheep. Yep. First off, the dog looks adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, really good. I mean, he's a sheepdog, but he looks really, really good. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the environments look fantastic. And it gave me a sense of, do you remember the game called Flow?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not Flow, Flower.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Made by the same people who made Flow.
Mm-hmm.
But Flower, where you play as a flower petal that rides the wind, picks up more petals along the way, mm-hmm. makes things grow. It's a really nice, chill, relaxing sort
chill
of...
environmental game, yeah.
You know, very, really, really nice mm-hmm. type game. This gave me the same sort of sense of, like, that would be... really nice.
Sounds like something original, too.
It does.
Yeah, so yeah.
Decrepit is a dark fantasy Souls-like set in a grimdark castle of horrors, says this thing here. Once you have Souls-like, I'm out, but RJ's in.
Mm.
So it's not that I hate that genre. It's just it's not something that works for me outside of Bloodborne.
Into, yeah.
Bloodborne is something I would absolutely play. Bloodborne is... my Final Fantasy VII. In other words, I'm really not into the Final Fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
I'm really not into Souls-like.
Yeah.
I will dip my toe in some Bloodborne.
Yeah. I need to finish Bloodborne.
For the setting, the what is it called? Not the atmosphere, but the aesthetic. Mm-hmm. That's what I was looking for.
So yeah, that London Gothic look. Yeah.
Victorian London. Gothic, yeah. Yeah, buddy. Mm-hmm. Give me that all day. Mm-hmm. That's why my favorite Assassin's Creed is Syndicate, because it took place in Victorian London. All right, so let's keep moving. Audio Mech from the creator of Audio Surf. There's a demo out on December 12th, something called Audio Mech, where it uses your songs. You get to battle against them. That's, you know, your own library of music. Guild Wars 2, an expansion. They showed that off. A new region is coming to escape from Dukov in 2026. Pragmata is coming to Switch 2. A demo is currently available on Steam now. I need to go and get that demo. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I think I've seen that on the PlayStation storefront earlier.
Yes. I'm really curious about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Solasta 2 is coming on March 12th. I don't know what that was. Tank Rat is a tank-based action game coming to PS5 and PC in spring 2026. There was another game. Okay, I saw this trailer and I didn't like it. Stupid Never Dies is the name of the game. It's a debut game from NetEase's own studio, GP Track 50? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Resident Evil producer, Kobayashi is his name, is running that studio. It opens with this song, and again, not showing me gameplay, but it eventually gets to the gameplay after doing this whole song and dance number thing that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And but by the time they got to that, I was completely uninvested with it. I was like, you're not showing me anything. Yeah. I already don't like what you are showing me. And then when it got to the gameplay, I'm like, man, I don't know. But I don't know if I'm in for that, because it's still, I really couldn't make out what was really going on and how it played. But yeah, we'll see. What else we have? South of Midnight is coming to PS5 and Switch 2 in the spring. We got a release date for John Carpenter's Toxic Commando, March 12th. First game by Bad Robot Games is a co-op shooter by Left 4 Dead creator Mike Booth, and it's called For Loop. Ontos, I guess if I'm pronouncing that right, from the creators of Soma, that's coming out in 2026. Angels of Delusion is a new faction coming to Zenless Zone Zero. What else do we have? Order of the Sinking Star, that's the next game from Jonathan Blow. It's coming out next year. Jonathan did a game called Braid, which I absolutely loved. And then he did a game called The Witness, which... the concept of it I loved, some of the puzzles I loved, but it was a stupidly difficult game.
Hmm.
The puzzles, some of the puzzles in there were stupidly difficult.
Hmm.
There was a point where it was like, okay, I'm done with this. Give me the guide, you know, and I you know, pulled up the guide on the other screen and I was like, that's fine. I'm going through this. I don't mind. And going through there and following the guide on how to solve some of these puzzles, I was like, there's no way. Mm-hmm. There's no way I would have done this or had the patience to continue doing it without this. So, yeah. That's the thing with puzzle games. At least I think. Action-adventure games, games like Indiana Jones, games like your Souls-like games, games where you have health. There are cheats, there are ways, there are mods, there are things you can do to be like, okay, don't let me ever die, or don't let me, you know...
God mode, things like that.
You know,
yeah.
Plenty of things. In a puzzle game, you don't really get any of that. In a puzzle game, in order to cheat, you got to have a guide.
Because
there is no way of, like, let me just... there may be a mod where it's like, just press this button and it solves the puzzle you're looking at. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But a lot of these were environmental puzzles. Some of them were just like, hey, move the dot from here to here, you know, go through point A in a maze and make this happen. But there were a lot of creative ways that they did that. And it was Jonathan Blow, and he is a sole developer on games like this. And so Order of the Sinking Star had a title card that showed up saying that there are over 1,000 puzzles in this game.
Hmm.
I'm curious about it. I'm very interested in it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to run back into what I ran into with The Witness, but... maybe I won't, but with over 1,000 puzzles, I probably will.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily mind that. I really enjoyed playing The Witness.
Yeah.
Even though I had to use a guide to do it, I really enjoyed it.
I mean, I think 1,000 puzzles, you're going to have a hierarchy of easy to mid-grade to
difficult.
Difficult. Yeah.
Super difficult, too. What else do we have? We said that... where was that? I'm Order of the Sinking Star. Okay. Warlock Dungeons & Dragons, which is a dark fantasy action game from Wizards of the Coast, being worked on. Anime-inspired racing game Screamer, coming out in March. We got the first teaser trailer, and I don't know if you saw this or not. Did you see this?
No, but I did see a post on social media about the cast of the thing.
We're talking about Street Fighter the movie.
Yeah.
We got our first teaser trailer for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was wondering if you had seen that and what you kind of thought about it. It's still a teaser trailer, so it's... But we got a release date for LEGO Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight. Basically, it is... They've had plenty of LEGO Batman games, and they decided what they would do is take the LEGO Batman formula and mix it with the gameplay mechanics from the Arkham series.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, outright redoing some of the Arkham settings in LEGO, which is fine by me.
Mm-hmm.
When you combine three nerd things like that, I'm down. Like your Batman, LEGO, video games? Sure. It's always going to win.
Slam dunk.
Right?
Yep.
This is why LEGO does what they do. Because if they can make those partnerships with those things, they're like, oh, we got them. They just released the Enterprise from Next Generation. Was it Enterprise D, I think is what that is? I'm not a Star Trek guy,
mm-hmm.
but I am a ship guy.
Mm-hmm.
I am a spaceship guy. I am a pirate ship guy. And, yeah. So, it's like $350, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They did the Goonies, but they did Willy's ship for the Goonies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $350 again.
Yeah.
But they got me. I don't own it yet, but there may be one day where I give them that money for it.
Yep.
So, yeah. What else do we have? Invincible Versus, that's the fighting game with the Invincible characters.
Yep.
Is released April 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Orbitals is an anime-like co-op space adventure coming to Switch 2 exclusively. Diablo 4's Lord of Hatred expansion coming out in April. Marvel Rivals Season 6 arrives January 16th. Deadpool coming to the game. Hogwarts Legacy is free on Epic Game Store. Lords of the Fallen version 2.5 is out now. Phasmophobia coming to Switch 2. The next Total War game is Total War Warhammer 40,000. Ace Combat 8, that was a big reveal. I don't see Matt playing anything anymore because Matt's a guy with it. Matt's an Ace Combat guy. Ace Combat 8 Wings of Thieve is coming in 2026. A stop-motion co-op game called Out of Words is coming 2026. Phantom Blade Zero, September 9th of next year. And Highguard, which was the last thing shown, is coming from Wildlight Entertainment on January 26th. It is a free-to-play PvP raid shooter, and that thing is being dragged online. Not because it looks ugly. But that
I think it's a genre.
It absolutely is because of the genre.
Yeah,
people are really kind of tired of the hero shooter things. Those.
But Marvel Rivals is doing fine.
It is. Marvel Rivals is doing fine. But to add another one on top of another of another of another of mm-hmm. another, basically they're just the I say the community, but whatever the online folks who are talking about it, they're just. They're like, wait a second, this is the last thing you're going to show us at the show, and it's a hero shooter thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's not, I don't know, a lot of people were not impressed.
Yeah.
Like, that could have been in any point of the show.
So
why
not,
did it have to be last?
So it's not the not liking hero shooters, because like I said, Marvel Rivals is doing fine.
They just expected really, in other words,
save your best for last.
If you had taken that Star Wars game, the one, mm-hmm. the Fallen, whatever it was, the one that's not coming out till 2030.
Fate of the Fallen Order. Or
whatever it's called. Yeah. Put that at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
People are still talking about it anyway, but you'd have a lot of people still talking about it. They'd be like, oh, that's a good way to end the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd actually kind of agree with that because it's the last thing of the show. It wasn't very long as far as the teaser for it.
Mm-hmm.
We now know it's not coming out until probably 2030. That feels like a place to put something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I still have a problem with announcing a game in 2025 for games coming out in 2030,
yeah,
if it hits that.
Yeah.
But that's, I think, where you put something like that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just what I've read from online. I'm also of the mind, it's a looter, shooter, PvP, hero, whatever. I'm not into that.
Mm-hmm.
Arc Raiders has my curiosity.
Yeah.
but it feels different than what that is. It's not first person. This is third. Arc Raiders is third person. This looks, I think this is first person.
First person, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, there you go. Those are your reveals. Those are your announcements for the Game Awards. Now, when we come back, I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Because this was basically what dominated the news this week. What do I have? I have Day of the Devs to talk about. Oh, we have the nine biggest no-shows of the Game Awards. In other words,
we got the snubs.
Yeah, I say, well, not necessarily the snubs of nominations, although I will say the Alters not getting nominated is... listen. The Alters is a game where you create clones of yourself. Now, it's scripted in the sense that it's not like you can just keep creating clones of yourself over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
The story dictates the next creation you make of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It branches out the timeline of your life. So in other words, where you had major points, you go back to that point and create the guy who made the opposite choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that way you're getting a guy who went off to mechanics school and knows how to fix things on the ship, whereas you went off to navigation school and learned how to fly one.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't necessarily know how to put one together, but you got, you know, different parts. Anyway, there's a lot of those. And it's voiced by the same guy. One guy voicing, I think, 10, 15 different characters.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all the same person. And so this guy had to had to use a variation on his voice.
Yeah.
For all those different personalities.
Yeah, there are tons of ways to do that. I mean, a pro voice actor, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my point. It was like,
range,
at least
speed,
nominate
yeah.
the dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might pick one of the three Claire obscure people that you nominated as well, but put him in the running.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a shot.
Yeah.
I kind of hated that he didn't make it. So these are not necessarily, these are not snubs. These are games that we've heard about before, but we didn't get any more update on them. You know, mm-hmm. we didn't hear anything. So we'll talk about those when we come back as well. Going into music here, I kind of gave you a tease here. It's from another Super Mario game. It's new Super Mario Brothers U. It is called Snow Overworld. And we'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. He said. There it is. Again to end game chat.
You got your silky, silky smooth jazz sound.
That's
going,
right. Welcome back in. You're listening to the smooth sounds of Gran Turismo 5.
Mm-hmm.
Not a game you would expect to hear something like this. This is called Christmas Tree. It's a racing game. And of course, the Christmas tree is the lights when they do the thing.
Yep. Gran Turismo always had those jazzy tunes in there.
They always did. It was very strange, pairing with what you did versus what they played music for you while you did it.
Yeah, this is not the music you hear going at 150 miles an hour.
I know.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But I was... I had two slots open for this after I found those six new songs. Well, no, five. Found five new songs. I had two slots open for this, and I was listening to what I had. Compared to what's coming up next week, which is our last show of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, all of these other Christmas music things that I have in here are very, very out there Christmas. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they slap you in the face with a snowball.
Yeah.
It's what it is. This one's got that nice, just relax, you know? Mm-hmm. Christmas vibe, but real chill.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It's like something out of Charlie Brown.
Yeah. Little Vince Gilardi trio there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Actually, I don't know who composed that, but that's what you heard. Welcome in. And we're going to wrap things up talking about the nine big, according to PCGamer.com, by the way, the nine biggest no-shows at the Game Awards. The first one they talk about is Blade. We had an announcement trailer for that back at the Game Awards. Keep this in mind, 2023.
Hmm.
And we've heard very little about it. So, the PC Gaming Show Most Wanted on December 4th, there was a mention of the Blade adaptation as being one of their most anticipated games, but you did not get any more information about it. Mm. We know it's coming. We just don't know when. Mm. Again, here it is. Announcing a game way ahead of time, right?
Yep.
Here's a game that was announced in 2023. And we've heard nothing since. Heard plenty on the actual film adaptation where they've started, restarted, canceled, and done all that, but nothing for the game. What else do we have? Yeah, it says, this article says we're about due for more details, even a gameplay trailer. We last got official word at the 2023 Game Awards with their teaser, but that's all we've gotten. The remake of Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. It was first announced in 2021, then appropriated from its original developer. We got the announcement of basically Knights of the Old Republic 3, a game that most people thought would never exist, and we still don't have word on the remake, so we don't know. From Software. It doesn't list a game, it just says From Software. In other words, we got nothing from them.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing announced, nothing new from them. But we haven't heard of anything from them. In 2019, it was Sekiro. In 2022, it was Elden Ring. 23, Armored Core 6. 24, Shadow of the Erdtree. 25, Night Rain. Something called the Duskbloods is set to release in 2026, but that is a Switch 2 exclusive. And we have nothing else that they're talking about. The next one's another studio, CD Projekt Red. We got nothing from them. Now, Cyberpunk 2, I think, is something they are working on. But they're currently smashing out Witcher 4 at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we got nothing from that. We did back at the Unreal Showcase thing when they were showing off the Unreal Engine 5.
Yeah.
We got a nice long trailer for how Unreal Engine works for that game. So we got a lot of look at the game and gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't get a release date. We didn't get a story, you know. In other words, we didn't get any kind of a story. We got who our main character is, and that's about it.
Mm.
Not much. And we haven't heard, again, we haven't heard anything on Cyberpunk 2. The remaster of Fallout 3, we first heard about that in some documents that were related to Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard. But that was pretty much it. When we got the Oblivion remaster this past spring, there was still that thought of, ooh, maybe there is still going to get a Fallout 3 remake type thing, a remaster of Fallout 3.
Mm-hmm.
But still nothing yet. We don't know. Also, same vein, Fallout New Vegas remaster. We didn't get anything on that either. So, nothing there. And we didn't get anything on the Black Flag remake, the Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which I talk about Syndicate being my favorite because it's set in Victorian London, but if you were to, you know, put those next to each other, it's a tough call between, like, pirates and ships, Victorian London. Which way am I going?
Because
I like my pirates and ships, and I like my Victorian London. So, yeah, I'm very interested in the Black Flag remake, where you're talking maybe March, I think, on a release date for that. But they've shown off nothing. which it seems odd to me. And if we're getting a March release date, I mean, that bypasses any sort of, like, Summer Games Fest and all this. Plenty of opportunity to hype something up. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't want to because it's a remake, you know, mm-hmm. because it's a game they've already released. And it's like, eh. And I don't think this is the next, you know, you had Assassin's Creed Shadows this past year. Mm-hmm. This is not like, okay, for the next Assassin's Creed game, it's Black Flag. No, you already did that, mm-hmm. you know, so maybe they're not trying to send it to the shows and things like that. I don't know.
Or maybe the thing with, like you said earlier, with Tomb Raider. We know what we're getting with Tomb Raider, so...
Oh, yeah, well, totally. Fine.
Yeah, so...
But I think with Black Flag, if you're going to remake it, I think you need to show off... How does it look? I don't know. You know? Elder Scrolls 6. The first and only teaser we ever got for that game was at E3 2018. As much as I want to harp on that Star Wars trailer being released for a game that wasn't going to show up until 2030, mm-hmm. there's my other one. I'm not an Elder Scrolls guy.
Yeah.
It's not a game that I play, but I know there is a massive amount of people who are.
Mm-hmm.
And I know seeing that teaser back in 2018 kept things going for them for quite a long time. And it's going to have to continue to keep things going for them for quite a long time because it is nowhere to be seen. And given Bethesda's work on Fallout 76, on the MMO for Elder Scrolls, the MMO for Fallout that they do, for whatever else they've got. What's the StarCraft? No, not StarCraft. What's a space game that came out that I'm drawing a blank for?
I didn't play. I don't know what you're talking about, but I didn't play the thing.
Anyway, that... I've completely forgotten. It was a space game. Starfield.
Okay.
Jesus. So, yeah, there's that. These guys also list Half-Life 3, which is whatever. Half-Life 3 has not been announced, by the way. So I don't think it should be a no-show. It's never been announced.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to put that. I mean, you can. If you could put Half-Life 3 could go into anything where you're like, where was this? Well, it's never been announced. Why would you... Well, I take that back. I think at some point it probably got mentioned, and I'm talking way, way back. Early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Back when Half-Life 2 released and left us with a cliffhanger. And even with the Half-Life 2 expansion episodes released, left us with a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are just expectant of a Half-Life 3, but it is nowhere. We have not heard anything.
Okay.
Valve's the kind of company, though. Valve is the kind of company that will just absolutely drop a trailer in out of nowhere for a game that you had no idea was being worked on.
Mm-hmm.
They are that good at keeping things close to the chest.
Mm-hmm.
They're masters of that. So, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, that's what, according to them, that was the 9 biggest snubs, no-shows of the Game Awards.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's going to do it. I don't know exactly. There's nothing else really to say. There was probably a lot of other news, but I knew what was going to happen at the end of the week with the Game Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what was being talked about Monday through Wednesday, or actually Monday through Thursday. Once Thursday night hit and this show hit,
mm-hmm.
that's all you're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
That's it. And that is all that they were going to be talking about. So, yeah, I don't know. That kind of wraps it up for us. But I have to fill time. So, how shall we fill the time? Is there anything that you're looking to play? I mean, you're just going to get back into your GTA Online and
all that other good stuff. But I got a question for you. What do you think the fallout of a game like Clair Obscur winning all those awards is going to do for the industry?
I hate to think, honestly. Well, let me tell you. Astrobot won Game of the Year last year, and I haven't seen anybody mention, hey, we're working on a platformer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it takes time, you know what I'm saying? I think it takes time for a game to win something, or at least a game to make an impression, especially mm-hmm. one such as Clair Obscur, for the copycats to start to roll out, or the the shift in what they're going to make to start to happen. You know, we had the Wii forever.
Yeah.
We had the Wii for a couple of years before Microsoft said, well, now we have the Kinect. Mm-hmm. Because apparently, using your body to play a game is something that everybody wants to do. It was not, by the way.
Yeah.
But it's something everybody wants to do. And Sony was like, we think you're right. We're going to make the, was it PlayStation Move?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
You know, they had their hits. They mostly had their misses with that, I don't even call it a mechanic, with that gimmick, let's put it that way. Because that seems to end up what it is.
Yeah.
Kind of, honestly, kind of a precursor to VR a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
VR is absolutely nothing but motion controls. If you think about it.
Yeah.
It's your whole body, your head, and your... it's all motion controlled. It's just done a lot better than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my point being is that Clair Obscur, will this usher in a wave of turn-based? See, that's the thing. Don't look at it as the type of combat. Look at it as the story that was written and told.
Mm-hmm.
Find that core. Find that formula.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find that flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And work from there. Understand that none of this works without the story, without the music. I mean, you look at the awards that they won, and that's how you figure out.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't win Best Turn-Based Combat. Bug. They won Best Music. Mm-hmm. They won Best Narrative. They won for voice work. They won for directing. They won for writing. They won for Game of the Year. You know,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't about the mechanics that they were doing. It was about everything that made it what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Look into that. Don't necessarily try and, well, we're going to do the same thing with our turn, but nope, don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's what your game is, sure, obviously, but don't take that as the reason that it succeeded.
Hmm.
So,
yeah.
Thanks for asking that question. It really filled the time.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about more along the lines of maybe this will give a kind of an idea of a reset to just give folks what they want.
Yeah.
I mean, the people who are paying to play these games, you know, they pretty much made it clear what they want.
If I had time to look it up, I would go back and tell you, let me read what the guy from Larian who won for Baldur's Gate 3 said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, find people who enjoy making these games and make the games that you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
Stop making the games that the suits want you to make or that corporate tells you to make. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people don't get that offer, but... Anyway, we gotta run. That's it for us. Thank you so much for watching the show. I'm going to leave you here with one of my favorites. I got more favorites coming next week, but one of my favorite, not only games, but also music tracks. It is Batman Arkham Origins. It is Joker's theme. We'll see you next Saturday. Thank you so much.